Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start a brand new series this morning on the church. Everybody say the church. All right. Now, a lot of people's concept of the church is a steeple, stained glass, and pews. But we're going to find out from the Word of God today that the church is not a steeple, stained glass, and pews and hymnals. Amen. Sing a few hymns, a few hers, and that's church. But in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 13, it says that when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, he's asking them the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's curious and he's asking them a question. In verse 14, they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. Now, he'd already been beheaded, okay? Some say Elijah or Jeremiah are one of the prophets. I guess they believe in reincarnation. These guys have all gone. They've checked out already, all right? And so this didn't satisfy Jesus' question. In verse 15, he's asking a very specific question here, a really important question that I believe he's asking to all of us here today. And he saith unto him, unto them, his disciples, he says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? In verse 16, Peter, you know, he's known for speaking up. Amen. You know, Peter had that foot and mouth disease. Amen. And sometimes he'd be talking, boy, he'd be hearing from heaven as we're going to see here. And other times he'd just open his mouth and put number 12 right in his mouth. Amen. But at least he had boldness. Amen. Like they say, you cannot steer a parked car. You got to be moving, right? And so you make a few mistakes. That's all right. At least you're moving in the right direction, all right? And verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, here's Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Here's Peter's response. Thou art the Christ, or the anointed one, the Son of the living God. That was his answer to Jesus' question, okay? You all see that now? But notice verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. We call this revealed or revelation knowledge. So Peter got some information, but it didn't come by way of the five senses. Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father, which, in other words, the Holy Spirit revealed this to him. And in verse 18, he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let's break this down and let's talk about this in reference to the church right here. That Jesus is, first of all, as we see here, he's asking them a question. Who do men say that I am? Some say thou art John the Baptist or Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the other prophets reincarnated. Well, that wasn't what he was looking for. He said, who do you say that I am? You know, it's not really that important what others are saying about Jesus as it is what are you saying about Jesus. When you say things like, Jesus is my Savior, he becomes that to you. When you say, Jesus is my Deliverer, he becomes that to you. When you say, Jesus, you're my Healer, that's personalizing it, he becomes that to you. Well, I'm excited about this. It's not what others are saying that's really important. It's what we say about the Lord that matters. Now, when he said, thou art Peter or Simon, there, that is the Greek word. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I got books that are. Amen. And you got Strong's Concordance, Young's Concordance. You can look and see the Hebrew and the Greek, you know. And the word Peter right there is the word Petros. And he said, when he says, thou art Peter, it's the word Petros, and it means a small stone. He said, you are Peter, you are a small stone. But he says, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the word rock there is the word Petra. If you've ever been around Christian circles long, there used to be a group years ago called Petra. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Christian rock group. Amen. And he says, you are Peter, Petros, small stone, but upon this large, massive rock, Petra, that's what it means, large, massive rock, I will build my church. And he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many know when Jesus speaks, it's going to come to pass? Well, Jesus said, Peter, you're this little stone, but he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to build my church upon this large, massive rock. Now, through the years, church denominations and so forth, and a lot of mainline denominations have said that Peter was the first pope. How many of you were taught that growing up? Okay, Peter was the first pope. And people interpret it as if Peter is the church, that he's the first pope, and Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on you, Brother Peter. Okay, we're going to find out here in this same chapter that that is not the case. All right, we're going to see what is Jesus talking about when he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What rock is he building it on? Is it on a man? Is it on Peter? Absolutely not. The word church is the Greek word for, in the New Testament, ekklesia. And when he says, when Jesus says, I will build my church, he said, I will build ekklesia, and it simply means this, those that are chosen and called out ones. Those that are chosen and called out ones. Okay? So the church, we can see right now, the definition of the church is not a steeple and stained glass and pews and hymnals and, you know, musty smell and all this kind of stuff. That's the way my church was growing up, you know. And you could go in blindfolded. I'm in the church. It smells musty. You get down where the kids meet downstairs, you know, it's musty down there. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's not the church. That's the church building. But the church is made up of individuals that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. Say, I am the church.
I am the church.
Okay? And that's why we can have church anywhere. That's why we can have church in a hotel. I know, you know, through the years I've seen pastors that started church in former bars. Okay? And sold the building was sold. They took it in there, ripped out the bars and everything. That's a good thing. Amen. Yeah. And they made it into a church. And the Spirit of God showed up. Yeah. But see, religious people, they get all sacrilegious about their thing. How can you have church there? Listen, God can move anywhere. Because we are the church of the living God. And Jesus says, I will build this church, called out ones. And he says, and the gates of hell. Now, what does that mean, gates of hell? I looked it up and it means this. Gates represents the governments of hell. Or someone else, as I was doing research on, said that the gates represent the strength of a city, indicating authority and power. Every city, for example, was Jericho, the first city that they conquered after coming into the Promised Land. Remember that, Joshua? That there was walls or gates that were around that city. It was like an impassable thing, right? And he says that the gates represent the strength of a city. And hell has gates. How many of you know that? Hell has gates. And he says the gates of hell will not stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the dark ages, even when the Bible was covered up and the Word of God was taken away, God had always a way to get through somehow. Amen? And sometimes you think you're in a dark age in your life, but I'll tell you, the Word of God brings light. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about the power of the church and the supernatural power of the church, because the church is not just an organization. And we know, we're going to see this in the weeks to come, that there's two aspects of the church. There's the corporate church, which is the body of Christ around the world. All right? That's the corporate church. We're all part of that body, all right? But then there's the local church, which is like what we have here. And there's millions of local churches throughout the world that God sets up. We're going to get into the church and understand the purpose of it and what God intends for it, the things to happen in the last days. Amen? But he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So gates represents authority and power. And I'll tell you what, you are the church of the living God. You are the body of Christ, the anointed one. Think about that. Peter had revelation knowledge, did he not? When Jesus said that flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but he said, my Father has revealed this to you, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did he do? He gave voice to that. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus said, upon that rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What is the rock that he is talking about building his church on? Is it Peter? No. The rock that he is talking about that he will build his church upon is the revealed Word of God. Revelation knowledge. Yes. And don't you know that Peter, when he got that, and Jesus patted him on the back, says, that's good, Peter. You just heard from heaven. I'm sure that that bolstered his confidence. Did it not? I mean, he's saying this in front of all his disciples. I mean, you know, he's praising him in front of all the disciples right there. He said, you know, flesh and blood hasn't, you're blessed. You're blessed. He's probably feeling pretty good about himself, right? Well, let's jump down to same chapter, verse 21. Just a few minutes later, after he was just praised for hearing from heaven. Amen. Look at what happened here. Verse 21 says, and from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, be killed and be raised again on the third day. Verse 22. Then Peter, here's Peter again, took Jesus and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, it shall not be unto thee. And verse 23 says, but he turned and he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. All right. Now, this is comforting in some respect, because there are times that we hear from the Lord, but there's other times we hear from the other side. We've all been there and done that, right? There's times we thought we heard from the Lord, and we really didn't, you know. But the main thing is you pick yourself up and you move forward. You know, when I started driving my vehicle years ago, it's been a lot of years now, you know, I made some mistakes, just like you all did. Amen? Hit a few curbs and so forth and so on. Man, my dad took me out when I first started driving, and I almost got in a head-on collision. It was the miracle. It was the mercy of God. You know, I came to this intersection. Instead of putting the brake on, I put the gas pedal on. And there's cars. I mean, I just squeezed in there somehow. I mean, it was the mercy of God. But you know what? That didn't stop me from driving. It might have stopped other people from driving. But you can see this humanity side of Peter. Peter is on one breath. He's hearing, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is praising him for what he heard, revealed knowledge. But then just a few sentences later, he starts talking about going to the cross and dying and being resurrected. And Peter said, no, not on my record. This isn't going to happen. And he didn't realize he was listening to the devil. Peter was listening to Satan. On one hand, he heard from the Holy Ghost, and just a few minutes later, he's hearing from the devil. And he's, you know, he had good intentions, by all means, did he not? Peter had good intentions. He was trying to tell Jesus, look, you know, don't do this. There's other ways that you can get around this, you know what I mean? Be it far from thee. And, you know, Jesus stood and he turned and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, that will cause you to inflate. If Peter had a big head right prior to that, it just got shrunk real quick. He's saying, you heard from heaven. Now you just heard from the devil. You see, a good idea isn't necessarily a God idea. I'll say that again. A good idea isn't necessarily a God idea. Now, I've had people through the years come to me and say, you know, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. And, you know, after 30 years of ministry, and I've had a lot of good ideas be presented to me, good ideas, but that doesn't mean it's a God idea. Amen? Years ago, I had an individual come to me that started coming to our church, and They really were into the dance ministry and flag waving and stuff like that. Okay, and I'm not criticizing other churches that do that. But this lady came to our church and she had a vision, and what she was endeavoring to do was to have me have her do it in our church, come up front where it distracts everybody and stuff like that, and wave flags and do choreography dancing while the service is going on. Well, I don't mind telling you, that will never happen in this church. Now I'm not criticizing other churches that. Now listen, it may work. I'm not being critical here, but I'm saying that's not a part of our vision. That's not, you know, now if that, and she couldn't stay in our church because of that. She had to leave. She had to go to a place where they let her do her thing up front. You know what I mean? Ballet or whatever they have to do. You know what I'm saying? And what people think is sometimes a good idea isn't necessarily a God idea. Are you with me? No, we're not criticized. There's ministries maybe they heard from the Lord to do that in their church. And that's fine. Okay? But at the end of the day, we have to understand this. God has a plan. God has a purpose for each and every church. There's no way that we will ever please 100% of the people 100% of the time. There's no way. Okay? But our job, Lynn and I, is to hear from heaven and to implement what God has told us to do. Now, there's timing on things, too. There's timing on things. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. We'll get into this. But, you know, God may tell us to do something, but the timing may not be there right at the moment. Right? Or the personnel or the people to do certain things. There are certain ministries within this church that will eventually be raised up in this church. But you know what? You can't just randomly start picking people. Okay? Are you with me? You have to have the right kind of person. You have the right kind of anointing, the right kind of gifting in order for something to happen. And if you choose the wrong person, it's like putting a square peg in a round hole and it just isn't going to fit. Are you with me? Well, as we can see right here, Peter is saying, on one hand, he's hearing from the Lord. You're the Christ. Jesus said, you heard from heaven. But then when he started talking about going to the cross, he rebuked him and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. You're an offense to me. So he suggested, it sounded like a good suggestion. You know, Jesus, there's got to be another way to get around this. But this brought Peter back down to square one right here. I guarantee you right now. So what I'm trying to say is this. Peter was definitely not the rock that Jesus was building his church on. What is he building the church on? The rock of revealed knowledge. The rock that Jesus is building his church on is revealed knowledge from the Holy Spirit. Revealed knowledge from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, listen to this, I wrote this down here. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the Word. The Holy Spirit uncovers hidden meaning of the Word of God. Amen? Wow. Turn over to John 14. Let's go over there real quick. John chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 26, okay? Jesus said this in verse 26. Are you ready with me? It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This is a really powerful verse right here. Jesus said, again, when the Holy Ghost, when he comes, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach you how many things? Okay, all things. The Holy Spirit knows everything. He's the most intelligent being that there ever has and ever will be. The Holy Spirit knows how many cells you have in your body. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows you better than you would ever know yourself. There's nothing that's kept secret from the person of the Holy Spirit. He knows everything about you. He understands you better than you understand yourself. If you ever find yourself in a situation, you're like upset about something, and you say to yourself, I don't even understand myself. You ever been there and done that before? Am I the only one? I don't even understand myself. Got to counsel myself. Amen. And sometimes confusion can get in, you know, in your life, and you're like, why is this, what's going on here? I don't understand this. Listen, you're never going to find the Holy Spirit dazed and confused. Never. Never, ever, ever. Now, the Holy Spirit, now stop and think about this. How many of you ever read a book before? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you had the privilege to know the author of that book? I don't see a whole lot of hands, just a couple. All right. Well, for the most part, most people do not know the author that wrote a book. But here's something I want to present to you. The author of the Bible actually lives on the inside of you. Oh, praise God. So, in other words, if he authored the Bible that says that men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, they were inspired of God to write the Word of God, right? So, if the Word of God is inspired of God and God breathed, as the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And so, the Word of God, which we read, we literally have the author of this book that lives on the inside of us. And so if he is inside of us, he can bring out hidden meanings of the Scripture where before we were like, I don't understand that. I'm not touching that. I don't understand that. The Spirit of God, he's the author. And I'm telling you what, he can unveil and he can pull back the curtain, so to speak, and he can show you things about the Word of God that will come alive to you. Praise God. He's the revealer of the Word of God. And Peter received that day when he said, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who revealed that to him? Was his intellect, his college degree? Well, he didn't have that. He was a blue-collar fisherman. But the Holy Ghost revealed to him, you are the Christ. Praise God. Is the Holy Spirit revealing things today? Absolutely, yes. Will he continue to reveal things to you? Now, I'm not talking about getting flaky and weird. What some people call spirituality is nothing more than the flesh. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about revealed revelation knowledge of the Word of God, where it becomes so vitally real to you. It comes alive to you. See, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I heard a preacher say one time, Mark Hankins, he said, if the Word of God bores you, you don't have a revelation of it. Because when you get a revelation of the Word of God, it's like you are excited. It's not like, oh. Smith Wigglesworth said, some people read the Bible in Greek. Others read it in Hebrew. But he said, I read it in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not being critical of Greek and Hebrew. You can get some stuff out of there by the Holy Ghost. But he says, I let the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I've done this myself. I'll sit down and I'll read the Word of God. And like I'm sure that you've had this happen. That you've read a Scripture. And God only knows how many times you've read that Scripture. But all of a sudden, you read it and you see it in a different light. How many of you ever had that happen to you? You're like, whoa, I see something in there I haven't seen before. Amen? I've had a few of those moments in my life. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't see that. And I've read that Scripture I don't know how many times. Mm-hmm. What happens is revelation explodes on the inside of you and comes and illuminates your mind and your thinking where you have a revelation of that. I never forget when I realized through revelation knowledge that Jesus was my healer. Oh, this boy got excited. This Methodist boy got excited. And as a result, I got healed. Amen. On Route 70. Mm-hmm. In 1981. Okay? At New Stanton exit where the turnpike picks up. And I was listening to R.W. Shambach on the radio. And if you know anything about R.W. Shambach, he's in heaven now. But I'm telling you what, that man was a preaching machine. And signs and wonders and miracles and things happen in his ministry. And I'll tell you, I was just a young believer at that time. Very young, green. Well, I'm in my Ford pickup F-150 truck delivering mining parts to different... I was working for a mining company at that time, and so I did a lot of traveling. All I had was an AM radio in there. That was good enough for me. And so there was a whole slew of preachers that would come on from in the morning till lunch, you know, and it was awesome. I'm telling you, and I would just listen, and now some of them weren't worth listening to, but R.W. Shambach, I'm telling you, he started preaching healing like I've never heard before. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I'm on Route 70 at New Stanton Exit in 1981, and I had a revelation of Jesus being my healer at that time. And at that time, this time of the year, I suffered so bad with allergies. My eyes would swell up from tree pollen and stuff like that. Red as could be, and swell up and itch like you couldn't imagine. Just terrible. Every year this would happen, every spring. As he was preaching the word of God, all of a sudden I had a revelation. It was revealed to me that Jesus took my allergies, took my sickness, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. Now, don't tell me God can't reveal himself to you driving down a highway. Amen. Man, I was right before the turnpike there. You know what I'm talking about? And the Spirit of God showed me, I am your healer. Now, I knew him as my Savior. That was already revealed to me. I knew him as my Savior. But that day, that spring day, around this time of the year, all of a sudden I realized the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to me as my healer. You know, was it Moses that went to Pharaoh? And Moses, this is right in the beginning part of that, and the Lord, he asked the Lord, he says, Lord, boy, they're going to think I'm a crackpot. Nut. Who am I going to tell them sent me when I go to Pharaoh to deliver the Israelites? And what did God say? I am that I am. You can still hear Charlton Heston's voice. Remember that? That's actually in that book, the movie, The Ten Commandments. That's actually his voice doing that. He's playing God on that. You know what I mean? Guess they ran out of characters or something. I don't know. I am that I am. All right, Charleston, I hear you. And what's interesting about that is that God says, here's the name on what you do use. I am, not I will be or I was. I am. Because when you need a healer, you don't need one that was or one that is to come. You need one that is right now. I am. I am is present tense, right now. It's always right now. I am. Jesus says, I am. When the soldiers went and fought and tried to capture Jesus, you know, they said, are you the Son of God? These are the enemies coming after him. They're on their horses and everything. What's Jesus going to lie? All he said was, I am. And they all fell backwards. I mean, they got wiped out under the power of God. They all fell backwards. All he said was, I am. Amen. And when you need a healer, he's not, I will be, or I was. I am. Yeah. Now stop and think about this. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You start talking about the Holy Spirit, revelation starts coming. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. You don't have to turn there. But the Bible says, now faith is. Let's take those three words. Now faith is. All right. What's on either side of faith? Now faith. And is. Faith is always right now. Yeah. Not will be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not off in the future. Faith is right now. And when you say, Jesus, you are my healer right now, he will manifest himself to you as a healer. I double dog dare you yeah. to say, Jesus, you are my healer. When in the midst of pain, in the midst of sickness, and you say that. Well, that sounds like I'm kind of lying, Brother Keith, if I say it. No, you're saying truth. And truth will supersede facts. Amen. When you got a stack of bills piled up on your desk, and you say, Lord, you are my provider. That's present tense. Now, your eyes will try to trick you because you'll be looking at those bills. You know, I know what I'm talking about. Been there. Had plenty of experience in this area. And those bills got a voice, don't they? I mean, we saw this last week when we concluded our series about Jesus answered the fig tree. Well, did the fig tree have a voice? Not like you and I. But Jesus answered the fig tree and he said, no man will eat fruit of thee hereafter. And his disciples heard it. He talked to a tree. I'm sure they felt he was up too late that night praying or something. He's a little bit misty-eyed and didn't get enough sleep. And so he's kind of hallucinating. No, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He answered the fig tree and he said, no man will eat fruit of thee hereafter before. How many of you know your body has a voice? Your bank account has a voice. Your spouse has a voice. Huh? Your kids have a voice. Your boss has a voice, right? But what you say about Jesus is what he will become to you. Think about that. Now, that day when I was driving on Interstate 70 at New Stanton, all of a sudden it dropped down. I was listening to the man on the radio, okay? And he was preaching from the Bible about healing and so forth. And you ever stop and think about it? The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 19, he was preaching to a man that had never walked before. And the Bible says that he perceived that he had faith to be healed. He perceived that he had faith to be healed. How did he even have faith to be healed? Because what Paul was preaching had to do with not only salvation from your sins, but deliverance from sickness and disease. Mm-hmm. That's how he had faith to be healed. Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed, and he said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet. And he was healed. Remember that? Well, he had faith, but nothing happened until he gave the command. He said, stand right up on your feet. Praise God. Well, how did that happen? Because he was communicating, and the Word of God was going into him. Even now, you stop and think about this. Every time we meet on Sunday morning, and that's why the devil fights so hard to keep people out of the Word of God, where revelation's going to help and help minister to people to bring them up out of the miry clay. Okay? Oh, that we value the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God delivered me from a fiery hell. The Word of God delivered me from this sickness that happened to me, this situation that happened to me in December. God delivered me from that. Amen? The devil was trying to take me out. Okay, without going into great, he was trying to remove me from this earth. But I know what God's healing power is. I know what God's delivering power. I know what God's financial provision was that covered that whole thing supernaturally. Okay? And when you got a $170,000 bill laying on your desk, it has a voice with a megaphone. Okay? But God is bigger than all that stuff. Okay? And if we focus on God and on His Word, He's able to. I'm telling you what, when you see things from God's viewpoint, things do not look bad. Amen. There's no frowns in heaven. There's no sourpusses in heaven. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So we come to the right place today. Now, I know for some of you this might be kind of new, but let me tell you something. Sometimes you need to learn to laugh. The Bible says in Job, it says, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Ha, ha, ha. And sometimes you got to do it by faith. Amen. Amen. As believers, we ought to be the happiest people in the earth because we have the answer. We have inside information. Amen. Amen. And if I'm not happy, it's because I'm not seeing it the way I should see something. Revealed knowledge. Okay, so Wigglesworth said some people read the Bible in Greek and Hebrew, but he goes, I choose to read it in the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what I do, and we'll get into this next week as well here. God is building His church. He's building His body, which is the church, but He's doing it on the revelation of the Word of God and who Jesus Christ is. When He said, when Moses went back to Pharaoh, He says, I am hath sent me. Well, that's what God told him to say. Jesus is the great I am. It's interesting. This is a whole other situation here, but if you look in the New Testament, Jesus said that more than anybody else. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the manna that was sent down from heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's so many I ams. Yes. That means He's currently right now this to us. I am your provider. I am your financier. I am your healer. I am your closest friend. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus is your best friend? You're never alone. In times where you're tempted to feel lonely and discouraged, I mean, Jesus is standing right there. He's right there. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus, and He's right there. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So we saw that the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He'll teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto thee. The Holy Spirit doesn't have amnesia. In other words, He doesn't forget. I wanted to close with this scripture this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, because what was the thing that Jesus said, I'll build my church on? Revealed knowledge of the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. The Word of God doesn't have to be like that first math class that you sat in. You couldn't, you know, the guy opened his mouth, but that's all you heard. You didn't hear anything else. Am I the only one? See, I'm not proud of it. I was not at the top of my class. Okay? I barely passed high school because I didn't care. I just had no vision. I didn't even care. Why do I need this? I don't need school. At least I thought I didn't. You know what I mean? I barely squeaked through, and I got my graduating cap. I was like, thank you, Jesus, I made it. But at that time of my life, I wasn't, you know, striving to be at the top of my class and be an honor roll student. No. Now, if I was to go back and do it now, it would be a whole different story. All right? But, you know, there was classes that I sat in, and the guy opened his mouth or the girl opened her mouth, and that's about the last thing I heard, because from there on, I didn't understand a thing they said. Amen? Because I'm dreaming about playing ice hockey, or I'm thinking about, you know, slip a magazine in there that has hockey. I was into hockey, you know what I'm saying? And looking at that stuff rather than the math book, okay? Now, why am I saying that? I have no idea why, but in Ephesians, the Bible, here's where I'm going with this. The Bible does not have to be boring. The Bible says the Spirit of God will teach us all things and He'll show us things to come. All right? Now, here's another little side thought here, and I won't charge you for this. Just give this out to you. So many people focus on what they don't know. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But listen, if you focus on what you do know, that's enough to get you through. I do know the name of Jesus. Yeah. I do know the blood of Jesus. I do know that we have authority in that name. Praise God. And if that's all I know, I'm going to act on that knowledge right there. So don't worry about the things that you don't know, the things you don't understand in the Word of God. There's some things that all of us here collectively together, there are some things in the Word of God that's obscure that we don't totally understand. I don't completely, totally understand the book of Revelation. But that's not going to inhibit me from teaching the Word of God on other subjects. Are you with me? So we build on the knowledge that we do, such as I have. Who was it? Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Okay? Well, that was enough to get the job done. And so there's such as I have, he said. There's things inside you that you have that's enough to get you through and to get you over. Do you know, and I know this from just personal experience and talking with, that we have such a rich knowledge. Those of you that are in this room right now, you know more than some pastors that are overseas. That's right. Spiritually, you know more. That's a fact. We are so saturated in America, and thank God for that, but we can take it for granted. We are so saturated with good word constantly pumped in through radio and television, media and stuff like that. Thank God for that. But you know what? It's not like that all around the world. I was talking to Brother Erlika from India that we support, you know. And he said, I said, Pastor Keith, he said, most pastors over here, you know, I can't even do his accent real good, but he said they know hardly anything. But he said it doesn't stop them from preaching and reaching people. There are people there that have literally hundreds and yea, thousands of people in their church, and they barely know anything. But what they do know, they act on it. Amen. And there's enough knowledge in all of us right here that we could turn this world upside down, at least the world that we're living in right here, based on the revelation knowledge. So when you open the Word of God, here's a scripture here that we'll close with here today. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. This is a Spirit-inspired, anointed prayer that the Apostle Paul wrote here in the book of Ephesians, that he was praying for the church at Ephesus. We would call this a Spirit-inspired prayer. Now, here's what I want to say, is this prayer is not exclusive for just, there's not a copyright on this prayer here for the Apostle Paul. He said, now, don't anybody else pray this, you know. He's showing us here a pattern how you and I can pray for ourselves and yes, even for other people as well. Most of you know where I'm going with this, but look at this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love for all the saints, verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, isn't that something? He said, I'm just going to make mention of you in my prayers. See, we think sometimes that unless you pray for 3 hours for someone, it's not going to get any results. Listen, it's not the length of a prayer, it's the strength of a prayer. You can pray one sentence and get tremendous results. It's like atomic energy. It doesn't take a whole big thing for an explosion to happen. Listen, Paul said, I make mention of you in my prayers. And I think we have to understand, folks, it's not so much, you know, God sometimes will lead us to pray longer prayers and pray in the Spirit and things like that. But listen, you can pray in a few seconds and you're praying the power of God, the Word of God in faith, and you will see tremendous results take place. This isn't our subject, but you'd be amazed if you look at all the short prayers in the Bible. It's a whole other subject. Maybe someday, though, if the Lord leads me, we'll teach on that. We would call it short prayers. There's a whole host of short prayers in the Bible where a person prayed and they had instant results, tremendous results, within a sentence. Amen? I think it was Brother Copeland one time. He had some years back when he was younger in the ministry, some big-time minister was laying, I think it was him, was laying hands on him. And when he got to him, he was expecting him to say this long prayer. And all he said was, Lord, bless him. And he said, in his younger days of Christianity, he thought, man, that really wasn't a whole lot. Well, he took it to the Lord. And the Lord said, well, that man was praying in faith, and that's all he needed to say. Lord, bless him. You know, we think, well, he's just trying to speed it up. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's another guy in the Bible that happened to. Was it the Syrian? What's his name? The guy that had Naaman, the Syrian, the leper. And he thought that the prophet was going to come out and speak all kind of things over him and all this kind of stuff. And he told him, no, go. He didn't even come out and see him. He says, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be clean. Yeah. He got mad at that. Naaman the leper. Well, his servant said, look, if he would ask you to do a hard thing, you would have done it. He goes, there's other rivers that are cleaner. He says, he told me to go to the River Jordan. There's others, Pharpar and this other, I forget the name of the river. He said, those are cleaner rivers. But listen, there is a specific river with a mission attached to it that he was to go to. Now, what if he decided to say, you know, there's another river over here. I'm going to go dip in there. All he would have been was a wet leper. Sounds like a rock group or something. But see, the assignment was to go to the Jordan River and to dip. What if he just said, well, you know, I'll just do this 2 times or 3 times. Same results. No, he said, dip seven times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And he said the seventh time he came up, his flesh was clean like a newborn babe. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? So the Spirit of the Lord will tell us to do things sometimes that don't make sense to us. Amen? Anyway, let's read this here. In verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, notice this, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's the key right there. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Notice verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So you have two sets of eyes. You got these natural eyes here, but then you have spiritual eyes. Do you know that? Praise the Lord. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to that working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him down at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. In verse 22, and hath put all things under His feet. Well, where's the feet? Is it in the body or is it in the head? It's in the body, isn't it? That would look pretty crazy if your feet were in your head. But he said, he hath, verse 22, He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things. Notice this, to the what?
Church.
To the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, you are the body of Christ. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You see, I am the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Say, I am the body of Christ.
I am the body of Christ.
Now, what's going to happen here is this, in conclusion here, is that for this revelation to begin to take place in your life about, you know, some, maybe you're here today and you're like, you know, I'm not sure about my future, what the future holds. I'm not really sure what's going to happen up ahead. And, you know, I don't know who I'm going to marry, you know, and all this kind of, what kind of job is there out in the future? And all these questions are in people's minds. And that's pretty much true across the board in any church that you go into. There's those of you that are in there, that's not a word of knowledge, it's just a fact. That you're in this room and you're thinking, what does my future hold? What about this? What about that? Well, listen, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the future. Okay? He will reveal, sir, He will show you things to come. But in order for that to happen, you have to place yourself under His power and His anointing. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He might lift you up, that He might exalt you in due time. Now, here's the challenge sometimes with all of us, because when it comes to humility, we all want the end result. We want the blessing. We want the increase. We want to see the increase in our lives, and all rightfully so, right? But listen, there comes a time at first where it looks like nothing's happening, and you stick your nose in that book, and you get in your prayer closet, and it looks like nothing's happening. But you stay with it. You stick with it. You stay faithful to it. And you can pray this prayer. You can actually insert your name. See, when I pray, Lynn and I, when we pray for you, this is one, not the only, there's a host of scriptures, but this is the one of the main prayers. There's one in chapter 1 and one in chapter 3. And there's also one in Colossians chapter 1. Okay? If we insert your name, and you can insert your name in there, and you can begin to pray, oh Lord, I pray that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened. That Lord, I would know the hope of your calling and what the riches of His glory of the inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to me as a believer. And as you begin to pray that prayer, you can pray that, put your name in there or other people's names in there, then certain things are going to take place. Revelation knowledge is going to take place. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, my spiritual father, used to say this. This is back when he was first in the ministry, when he was pastoring, you know. He said the Lord led him to pray. And if you have the book, The Authority of the Believer, the first chapter, he shows you that. He talks about that in there in chapter 1, I believe it is. And he said he would go up to his little country church there. And he said, man, we just lack knowledge in so many ways. You know, it's a wonder we didn't have to pull the deacons out of the rain. You know what I'm saying? That's what he used to say. He said, we just lacked a lot of things. But I'll never forget this. He said, I went up to that church, I think it was said 2 times a day. He said he would get on his knees there in that country church. Just nobody's in there except him and an empty church building. And he said, Father, I'm praying this for my congregation. I'm praying this. And by the way, you don't have to know a person's name in order for your prayers to get results. Did you know the Apostle Paul prayed this for the whole church at Ephesus? But do you think he knew every one of them by name?
No.
No, he didn't. You don't have to know people by name per se. You can include them. Say, Lord, I'm praying for this body right here or this family, you know, there can be a whole host of people, and you can still get powerful results. So here's what he did. He would go into that. How many of you have read this in the book? You know what I'm talking about. And he said he would go out there about twice a day, and he would say, Lord, I'm praying this for this congregation, for the people that are here, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto the people here the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they might know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, which He wrought in Christ, and so on and so forth, right? And then over in chapter 3 as well, he goes, man, it never felt so dry. He said, I'd get up there and I'd get on my knees and I'd pray, oh, Father, I'm praying this right now for the members of this church, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and he would just go through that. He said about 6 months into that, most people give up after 2 weeks. Amen. That's one thing about persistence. If you persist in doing the right thing, payday is coming. I'm telling you, payday is coming. People give up too quick. They quit in the process. But if you stick with it and you stay with it, godliness is profitable, folks. Living for God is profitable. Amen? Living right, living clean, living for God pays rich dividends. Now, God doesn't always pay on Friday, but He does pay. Boy, we're looking for that Friday sometimes. Rather, okay, Lord, how long is this going to take now? And your head's swimming sometimes, right? But here's what he said. I was just dumb enough to get back on my knees and say, all right, Lord, I'm praying this again. He said, I never felt so dry in my life. He said, but after about 6 months, a half a year, he said, it's like the top of the church just was lifted off. He said, it was like revelation started coming. And I just... He said he'd be up there preaching, and all of a sudden he'd be speaking things, and it was like the power of God was so strong in that church because of revelation knowledge. And he had people in the church. Now, he didn't announce, here's the thing, he didn't announce to the people that he was praying this. He didn't say anything. But he said person after person after person would come to him after the service, you know, and he'd be dismissed, and this is in a country church, you know, and he'd be standing at the back door as they're leaving the church, you know, as you see in the movies, like Little House on the Prairie and stuff like that. And they said, preacher, what is it about you? And he said, so well, what do you mean? He said, I don't know. There's just a power. There's an authority. There's something that you're speaking is just hitting us like a brick in a good way. And he said it was from that point on that he started seeing things happen in the lives of those people. They started getting a hold of things. He said he had a certain relative, for example, that was born again, but had sickness and disease in their physical body. And he said that he tried to share with them certain truths about healing and receiving healing, and they just didn't get it. They just got frustrated and walked away. He said, "What you know what he did? He took that person's name as a relative. And he said, I began to pray over and over, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3. And I would insert their name in there and I would pray for them. And he said, a few months later, he came across the same relative that was having problems. And he said, it was like their face was like a neon sign lit up in the dark. Amen? They are having a good time over there. Aren't you glad? They're busting loose over there. Amen? Revelation knowledge has hit them over there. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're almost done here. But he said, this same relative, the gentleman that was having problems receiving healing, he said, Kenneth, he goes, Brother Hagin, he goes, I've been seeing things in the Word like I've never seen before. And I understand, now I understand Jesus is my healer. And he was healed. Well, what happened was the veil was lifted, the curtain was lifted. And that which was blocking and that which was hindering was removed. And then the light of God's Word shined into his heart. And he was able to see, I see that. I get that. You know? And then he was able to receive his healing. Okay? I wanted to conclude with that this morning because church, body of Christ, let's diligently pray Ephesians chapter 1. Now, you may not understand all that that means and what is he wrought from Christ when he raised him from the dead, but you just methodically, you begin to pray that over and over. You know, you don't have to, how many of you know, you don't have to have perfect knowledge, you know, of how everything works. I got an iPad here, you know what? I don't understand how this thing completely works, but it's not going to hinder me from using it. I got a cell phone. I don't understand completely how this thing works. Now, those of you that are very intelligent, you may understand that and you could explain from A to Z how this thing works, all right? And I commend you for that. But for us common folks, I don't understand exactly how this thing works, but I know it works. And my lack of knowledge of knowing how this thing works doesn't hinder me from using this phone. You don't have to have total understanding of how your car works, your vehicle works. But does that hinder you from jumping in your car and driving somewhere? The answer is no. Okay? So you don't have to have it all figured out before you tap into something. All you have to do is, I know that this works, and I'm going to act on it. So I'm going to start praying Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, Father, I thank you for the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened today. Thank you, Lord. I open up sometimes, I'll just open up, if I'm reading a chapter in the Bible, I'll say, Holy Ghost, you're the author of this book right here. Teach me right now. Teach me right now. And so I'll start reading a couple of verses or read the chapter, a little short chapter. And I'll pause and I'll sit there and I'll say, all right, Lord, show me something about this that I haven't seen yet before. And all of a sudden, from way down within, I had this thought come to me about a scripture or a verse and maybe compare it to another verse, and all of a sudden there's light. The entrance of his word giveth what? Light. And all of a sudden, Spirit of the Lord, he's an illuminator. And he brings light. You know, how many of you ever here have been in a dark room before? Okay. I don't know about you, but there's been times I've gotten up in the middle of the night and it was dark and I didn't see a piece of furniture or something. And you connect your foot with that table. And then you start doing an Indian dance. You know what I'm talking about. Because pain is screaming, is running up and down your foot. You know what I'm saying? But when the light's on, you see that thing. You're going to go around it, okay? And there's a lot of things that we bump into in this life because of a lack of light. I'm not talking about physical light like this here, but there's spiritual light as well. And when light comes to us, today light is coming to us as we're ministering the Word. It's all good, I can tell you that. But when light comes to us, we'll see things. We're not going to fall into a pit. We're not going to fall. Have you ever seen people and you know And I'll stop here after this, I promise you. Amen. Put one more quarter in the meter here, all right? Okay. And it could be just as plain to you have a friend or someone in your family or whatever, and they're about to do something, and you know it, you know about what they're about to do is going to cause them much damage, but they think it's all right. And you're, to you, it's just as plain as day, right? Like, don't do that, because this is what's going to happen if you do that. Like, oh, I'll be all right, Dad. I'll be all right, Mom, you know, or whatever. And they go ahead and do it. The hardest thing for a parent is to say, I told you so, right? But see, you see things. There's things that you see sometimes with other people about to make mistakes. But if they have light, they won't make those mistakes. There are certain things I will never repeat, mistakes that I've made in my life. I will not go back there. Why? Because I know what the pain felt like. You know what I'm talking about? But we had good intentions. We meant well. But there's certain things that as the Lord illuminates to us. And here's what I'm going to pray today as we conclude. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. May that occur in each person that's here today, Father. Those that are here in this room right now, Father. We are your church. The body of Christ, the anointed ones. That's what you said about us, Father. And right now, Lord, I pray over each and every person right now in the name of Jesus for wisdom, for revelation, for understanding. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father. For light. I say, light be, light come right now. Light be, light come right now for each one here, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.